Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 133. This is a show where we talk about all things geeky. If it has a computer in it at some point or another, we're going to talk about it. My name is Martin Obano. I'm one of the hosts here. But before I introduce my other hosts, I want to thank Repair Tech Solutions for their support of the Podnuts Network. They make a product called TechSuite. Oh, sorry about that one. The ultimate computer repair toolkit. It downloads, installs, maintains, and automates over 300 commonly used repair tool utilities. Wow, I'm on a roll already. And you can even add your own. So thank you, TechSuite, for their support of the Podnuts Network. We are here. There's usually three of us. There's five of us today. We are covering the world today. We got the world covered, and both figuratively and literally, because that's how we roll. But before we get going and introducing our guests, if you're on the video with us, you can see them down there. You can wave to them. They may not see you, but go ahead and wave anyways. But we got Tim and Mitch. Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going good here. It's great. Couldn't be better.
It couldn't be better at all?
No, the Orioles are in the playoffs, as are the Pittsburgh Pirates. So what could be better?
Well, and the Angels.
And the Angels are, yep. Best record in baseball. Only about two games to the Orioles.
All right. So you guys doing well?
I'm doing well. It's been a while, and it's good to be back. So I've missed you guys.
You didn't miss much. Last week we didn't have a show. We were just not feeling so well and stuff like that. But I don't want to hold on. I don't want to talk to you guys too much. I mean, I love you guys, but I don't want to talk to you guys too much because
I feel the same.
Our guests are Andy and Alistair from the Admin podcast. And the reason I wanted to bring them on is because, well, one off, they've got a great show. Two, they're from England. And three, it's midnight there. So we think, you know, it's early in the day for me. It's right on time for you guys. There, it's midnight. They're skipping their sleep to come talk to us today.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Going well. Hey, both you admit it. Both you guys are going to call in sick tomorrow at work, right?
Yeah. Well, Andy works for himself, so he can cover that for himself. It's his wife he's got to get him.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Andy. You can't call in sick from your wife. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, well, not too bad, yeah.
Good. Well, welcome to Geeksters. This is our humble abode. This is where we just hang out and talk. But you guys have a podcast called the Admin Podcast, right? Or am I...
That's correct, yes.
Am I stuttering on the admin word?
Yeah, so we've basically... I've obviously listened to... Well, how it started out was that I have to drive over an hour each way to work day and back, backwards and forwards, and... I was getting bored of listening to music in the car, and I thought, well, is there something else I could be doing with my time? And I found that there's people talking about computers on podcasts. So I started listening to a number of different podcasts. One of them was Linux for the Rest of Us, and that's where I found about the Podnuts Network. And obviously I listened to the Geeksters, was added to my top of my list on that. And I found out there wasn't really any... podcast out there which actually kind of covered servers side of things, and I wanted with the same sort of format as you, just coming together chatting about what you did at work in the last week or so and just talking about servers and networking and stuff. So I went to do a couple of shows on the server show, but the problem you've got is scheduling time to when we both can, us being in the UK and you guys being in America, it's quite hard to schedule their time. So that's when I thought, well, is there anyone out there in the UK or in Europe who wants to do a podcast? And obviously I put some feet out there on the Mike Tech show, and I did a show on the Podnuts Days to get someone. And then Andy came along and said, yeah, I'm up for doing that podcast. So we're up to episode 8 now, doing it for about 3-4 months, haven't we now, Andy?
Yeah, it's about that. It's about 3 or 4 months, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking about starting something myself at the time, but I really didn't know what to do or what to say or how to go about it. So when I heard one of Alistair's, I think it was your email on the Mike Tech Show, actually, that first heard, I thought, right, that's the one that I can try. That's the one I can see if I can get involved with. So I just got in touch with him, emailed him, and, eight episodes later, here we are. So... yeah, I mean, we've covered quite a lot of topics, haven't we, during these podcasts as well? And we've done all sorts, haven't we? From DHCP. Things about DHCP, and we've done one on DNS, and we've done one on
server migration.
migration, yeah, that's another one, yeah. So we've really covered a lot, haven't we? So it's been pretty good going.
Yes, we just want to get some more listeners on there, really. I mean, we just sit, as you guys just have a chat, what we've been up to in the last week, Stories from the Trenches, and then we normally talk about a topic, DNS or DHCP, server migration, so that kind of teaching people, and then Andy can come up with, if I just understand, it works quite well, doesn't it, Andy? You can ask questions. If I might go off and be a bit too techie, you can ask.
That's it. I mean, Alistair's a lot more experienced with the server side because he works with it all the time, every day. Whereas I do a combination of both house and business, small business, and a few of my customers do have servers and that. So most of my stuff is residential. And even some of the small businesses that I work for, it's really still residential in a way. You know, they're still not running servers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some of them might be just doing file sharing across a few machines over a network, and that's about it. So Alistair's a lot more experienced in the server side. So when we're doing the podcast, you know, he can be talking about certain things to do with DHCP or whatever, and he's going off and talking about more in-depth stuff. And sometimes I just step in and say, hang on a minute, what do you mean by this? Because I'm kind of coming at it from a bit more of the layman's point of view. You know, so if anyone out there is listening and they're not understanding something, I can sort of think, well, you know, a lot of people might not know what that means unless you explain something else. So I can kind of bring it back a bit or just ask to explain another little bit. So I hope that helps. Because it's quite easy, isn't it, to sort of go off on one topic and just get very, very in-depth and lose people in a way, especially on the server side, because it can be really, really in-depth. And so I think taking a step back's a good idea.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I want to say that, so their podcast is at www.admin-admin-podcast.co.uk. I'm curious because I think in one of the emails we had passed back and forth, you guys were working on maybe like a .com address, and I wasn't sure if that ever came about.
Yeah, the .com just redirects to .co.uk.
Basically. Oh, does it? Okay. So you can go to admin-admin-podcast.com, and it will take you to the same spot. I accidentally typed that in earlier today, and I don't think it didn't. Oh, it does. It didn't work this morning for me. maybe it was me, though. I could have been typing things wrong, but that's cool. So Alistair, you don't work for yourself, right? You work for a business.
Yeah.
A company. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I work for a Microsoft Gold partner.
Very nice.
We're an HP house. So we all do sell HP kit. So we, but those goes well inside together. So, but the other thing is that, my official title is a solution architect, but can be varied from what I do. Like last week, I was doing an SBS migration to Windows 2012 R2 Essentials with 12 users, and then this week I'm working on an Exchange migration for 500 users. So it just varies from whatever I get put on, kind of thing. So I get to do lots of different interesting things. So.
An Exchange migration for 500 users, is that in-house?
Yes. So they're not going to Office 365. They're currently on Exchange. Well, they were on Exchange 2003. Then they've gone to Exchange 2010. And now we're doing the migration to 2013. So it's interesting because it's we came across an issue, which is that I took on the project from someone else because he left and he'd done the 2003 to 2010 migration. And they're doing a useful thing called they wanted it high availability, so they have a nice interesting thing called a CAS array, which basically means that when Outlook connects to the Exchange server, if that goes down, it gets redirected to the correct Exchange server. But the problem is that you have a domain name for the CAS array, and that's meant to be different than your OWA address. You know, like when you set up mobile phones for OWA for Exchange, like remote.the company name or OWA or whatever, or mail. you mustn't have them the same because it causes loads of issues when you go from Exchange 2010 to 2013. And the guy before me decided to call the CAS array name the same name as the OWA address. So that's an interesting one. So, but luckily, I found some guys on Twitter, MVPs, and they should try checking out this Yammer thing, which I don't know if any of you heard of this. It's like a technical Facebook or a technical Google Plus, but it's run by Microsoft, and there's a Microsoft Office 365 community on there, and you can request to join, and then you can just go in and just ask questions, and then either the Office 365 team get back to you or MPPs reply to your question, and they came back with a solution for my problem, so for free, so that was quite handy. So.
Oh, that is cool. And that's, you said Yammer, right? Y-A-M-M-E-R.
Yes.
.com. And yeah, it looks like what I just looked at their website, and it says, Yammer is a private social network that helps employees collaborate across departments, locations, and business apps. So,
it does kind of have a... Yeah, it's about Office 365. It's like the Facebook for Office 365 is what part of that. But there's I'll send you the link to the to this portal you can go to, and you can request to be added into that so you can access it.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. No, I like that. I've never heard of Yammer. It's always helpful when other people out there can help you out and get stuff, you know, solved. And
that's a big thing in podcasts in general that I find, really, is just finding out about websites, finding out about tools and things like that, boot CDs, all these different kind of things, you know. They really, what would you do without them? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And really useful, so...
So Andy, do you have a shop then, or are you, do you do more kind of networking systems support from your residence or from your office, but you don't really have like a break fix shop, or do you kind of have a hybrid?
No, I work completely from home. So it's all kind of consulting and things like that. And so it's either remote or I go and visit. I mean, most of the people that I work for are pretty close anyway. You know, in terms of mileage, everyone is pretty close. But even so, even though they're close, you know, remote's still good, isn't it? You know, you can still, today I was doing some remote work today, and you know, doing two or three people at the same time. So it's just the time as well, isn't it? Traveling around. I mean, it may only be 20 minutes from one place to the other. You know, but when you've got to do that three or four times in a day, you know, saves a couple of hours. Plus the fact you're at home. You know, at home, doing whatever, and you can be at three different people at the same time. So, but that's what I mainly do. All the places I go to are all on the I live on a peninsula called the Wirral, which is pretty close to Liverpool. If you ever look it up, so that's pretty much the kind of area that I cover. I think there's about a quarter of a million. Probably a quarter of a million on the Wirral itself. So there's a pretty big customer base to be had there. So, but I would say also that 75% is residential.
Yeah.
And the rest is business.
You do mostly business?
I do what, sorry?
You do mostly business? More business than residential?
I'd say mostly residential.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, some of those residential are actually, you know, they're business in a way. You know, they're working from home, doing whatever business they do.
What's the most out of any of your clients? What's how many users? The most users you have in any?
Oh, for them.
Yeah.
There's not many, I suppose. One's 50. Well, they're both on SBS, and there's about 15 or 20.
Not no 500, huh?
No. No, that's it. I mean, we've only been saying on our podcast, you know, that it with networking and server and that, it doesn't matter in one way whether it's, you know, 10 people or 100 people. You
it's
know,
the same
principles
thing.
Still,
yeah, yeah.
You know, still apply. You know, you may have to go about it a different way, but the same principles apply whether you've got 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing about management and service. What do you call it? You know, managed servers, that's it. That's what I was thinking of. Managed services and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know, the one thing that, you know, when I left my other job and I had you know, the hundreds and of servers that I would work on and thousands of people and just do that. The only real difference from leaving that to what I am now is really if somebody was to say, hey, what is the one thing you lost into making that transition? And it's the ability to be able to kind of be almost on the cutting edge. One, I was working in education, which meant we got a really, really cheap discount from Microsoft. So we always had something that anything new came out, we were always right on the edge because we could, because it was so inexpensive to do it. And so I lost that and the ability to have, like, I don't have the finances to just go, well, I need to have this server to play with. Where in a corporate environment, you can get a new server, a NAS, a rack, a Cisco device, you know, enterprise devices just to play with because you need to learn them. Whereas now, as a small owner, I can't go, you know, I don't have the finances to go put, you know, $1,200 down on just a switch just in case I want to play with it, just in case my maybe one client who could possibly even think about maybe affording this, if I sold it right, you know, could purchase that. And so, and I think that, you know, probably between you and Alistair, you guys have probably talked about that where you know, you definitely have, you know, Alistair, you have the chance to be able to mess with a lot more stuff where just like my friends who are still in that environment have the chance to work with a lot more kind of bigger toys, if you will.
Mm. Yeah, but I've got a demo suite at work, so you need to set anything up, you can just spin up some VMs and play with it kind of thing. So
yeah. I mean, I've got to kind of learn as you go, if you like, you know, if anything, anything new comes along or anything new piece of equipment or whatever, and you know, I haven't seen it before or used it before. You just got to get it as and when you get it. You know, as the customer gets it, you've got to learn it, whether you just log into it and play with it or get the manual out, or you just got to learn it as you go. Because I'm in that same situation. You know, I can't go out and just buy a brand new server just to have a play with. You know, it's not going to happen.
Right. Well, but the nice thing about, you know, listening to, you know, either whether we're listening to you or you listening to us or we're listening to, you know, all the other shows that are out there both on the Podnuts Network and all the other networks is that you get a chance to hear from people who are using other things. And so when Jeff Halish interviews people on Podnuts Daily, and I want to mention that you're interviewed on Podnuts Daily number 393. So if you do podnuts.com/PND393, that's where you're going to hear the interview regarding the Admin podcast from Jeff Halish. But, you know, you listen to those podcasts and you hear, you get a chance to hear from other techs and they get a chance to talk about the new equipment or stuff they're running into. And then a lot of times then we go, oh, you know what, maybe I don't want to buy that device because it's having issues right now. Or maybe I do want to buy it. I'd be really interested in hearing that device because I'm hearing such good stories about it that maybe that, you know, so as a small business owner, I enjoy listening to those because it gives me a chance to not have to worry about, you know, buying something and it not working. I get to let other people test with it, and then I just kind of get the good side of it, which is fun. And I hope that they get the good side, and that we can, you know, especially on Geeksters, we can report what's good and what's bad as well. At times that we get a chance to play with certain things.
Yeah, I mean, the other reason I wanted to do the podcast was to try and improve my speech kind of thing, because sometimes I don't stutter, but getting out the right words. That's the reason I wanted to do the podcast, is to get it, and to obviously, I mean, I've helped Andy out quite a lot so far, haven't I, with you just helping you out doing different bits and bobs with his customers and stuff, because I enjoy doing that, because I like to give something back. And all the stuff I've learned so far on all the different podcasts, especially on the Podnuts Network, has been good. I mean, the other thing which we've been doing as well is that sometimes I find it really hard to explain stuff, because you can't, if you're doing Greek policy or something, it's really hard to explain it. So we've kind of been doing a bit of a video series, like kind of a bit of a training kind of thing, so where we just kind of spin up of just do a bit of a screen share of one of my VMs and then just showing you. Well, we did a one of like showing up how to set up a domain and how you connect PCs to the domain. And it's not like teaching you like, oh, this is how you to do it. Because something that I don't like about other training videos is like they show you how to do it, but it doesn't ever feel like real life. Whereas I like to show stuff and then you can ask questions as we go along. So we're going to start doing some videos as well, along with the podcasts as well, so that I can explain it a lot better. And I mean, I know that Mitch, you were talking about last week about you wanted to learn about things like group policies and mapping network drives.
Like you can group PC repair and to do two different things. You have people just fix PCs. They don't do nothing with networking. And then there's the networking experts like you got, like you guys. And I think really any PC repairman or technician, they should know how to do this. I mean, it's going to open up another avenue for them, you know, to really do well, you know, make a lot more money. Because to me, networking is, you know, I should have taken a course when I didn't. And you know, now, you know, I read about it a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to do nothing full time. I'm getting ready to retire at my age. But I still like to, you know, I thought about maybe downloading Windows 8 because I think you can use it for, I'm talking about Windows 8 server or something like that. You can use it for like, what, 60 days or something like that. Or
the server, know, server 2012?
Something like that for a couple months or something before, you know, use it as a temporarily before it quits working or something like that.
Yeah, it will work. It will just, I think about 120 days it will work until something, it starts stop functioning. So.
Because I definitely think it's, I mean, I know some other people, and that's all they do is just fix, you know, PCs, you know, laptops. But they could really expand their you know, their money making, and really, really probably do well. Now, I have another question. How did you guys learn all this? Did you go to school? Did you go to college or?
Not for me. I didn't go to university. When I left school, I did a 2-year electronics course. Mm-hmm. And when I was at college doing electronics, I found out about PCs.
Oh, I think you said you said that on the show. That's right. I remember. I think. Yeah.
And yeah, luckily, I knew someone who was a one-man band who needed someone else to help him out, and he showed me computers and about servers. I never knew there was anything in these servers existed or NT4 at the time. So
right.
He showed me, and then you just learn. I just learned by just messing about, and then I found out about Google and stuff, and you just find it out, have a problem, solution, and then come up with a solution for it.
I did a kind of, what's called a higher national over here. It's not quite degree level. It's about half a degree, I think. So I did a higher national in the computers I'll tell you when it was. It was when 9/11 happened. That's when I was doing it. And that was a really good course, but it didn't really teach you anything in the real world. It never taught you how to remove a virus. Never taught you how to fix stuff.
Like over here, over here we have, maybe Mark can explain it better than I. We have what they call CompTIA, and they have these, you know, different courses. I took the A plus, which is the very basic, just learning how to repair PCs. But they did not get. I mean, I cannot remember anything about removing viruses. And most of the stuff I knew before I went. Martin, why don't you explain what CompTIA is? You can do it better than I. And
well,
they got the different courses you can take. And
well, I mean, I don't know if that's where Andy was getting at. If he was talking about how he was taking some courses as well.
Yeah, we have the comp.
And go.
Well, it's CompTIA. It's not college. It's a certificate.
Certificate.
Meaning that if you have this, and actually I do have a card. You know, saying that I took this A+ course, blah blah blah, and back in 2001.
But Microsoft certs are global,
different, right.
So I would assume that CompTIA and A+ and stuff like that are also global as well.
Yeah, we get them over here. So, mm-hmm.
So what I did wasn't a course exactly. Well, it was a full year in night school at college. So, but it was good, you know. But it didn't teach you real world stuff,
right?
At all. So, as we all probably have, most of the stuff that we learn is all self-taught, I would imagine. I don't know about everyone else, but I would say most of it is self-taught. I mean, we've got to learn some of the basics, haven't we, beforehand in some way or other.
Well, I can tell you, we never played around with Combo Fix. That's for sure. The course I took.
Yeah. That's it. They don't teach you these kind of things. No. You've got to learn this yourself, and it's only from the knowledge that you have already, you know, to kind of apply it. You know, so if you come to a machine that's got, you know, some kind of virus in or ransomware or whatever, you know, there's nothing to, you know, there's no one to tell you how to fix it, is there? You just got to figure it out for yourself, or ultimately Google it if you can't. So
last week, Martin, you were talking about Windows 2000 Essentials. and if it had Exchange installed or comes with Exchange.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was going to say, Windows 2012 Essentials doesn't come with Exchange anymore. There's no product out there which comes with Exchange built into it. They all want you to go to the cloud.
Okay, so they've dropped that part of it, of the Essentials or the small business type servers now?
Yeah, so you can basically get Foundation, which I think you can have up to 15 users, and then the Essentials where you can have up to 25 users, and then you go up to the maximum when you have to go into the full-fledged Windows servers.
Is it still kind of a stripped-down version of the server, or do you still get a lot of the full features? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's got all the features installed.
One of the reasons I mentioned that is because I have a client who purchased an SBS server, and then they needed to run QuickBooks on it, and QuickBooks wouldn't run on the SBS server. So I'm just curious. I'm curious since they've made that change, if they've taken some stuff out and put some stuff back in. So now you get, because I haven't, since I was kind of burned a couple times by the SBS line, I haven't really stuck with any of the Essentials line, just thinking it was just a rename, a respin of the same thing.
I've never had come across a problem with that before, with the SBS would not be able to install applications and servers on it. I mean, I've had it where you can only have one domain controller. Well, you can have two domains. You can't add extra domains into that domain on the SBS.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a limitation of it with it, that you can only have 25 users on the Essentials. You can't have anything like Hyper-V installed on it. You get all the DHCP roles, DNS roles on it. You get the old remote web workplace still and stuff, and you still get all the W stuff with it. For users, like last week I did the migration they were on SBS 2003 on the old Exchange 2003 with like 15 users. But the problem you've got now is that obviously when you buy new PCs now, you can't buy Office 2010 anymore, can you? Because obviously Office 2013 will not work with Exchange 2003 unless you buy with SA, and then you can download. But obviously SA, what's the software assurance, is that it costs twice as much to buy for that product.
Right.
So,
you can do it. It's just going to cost you enough. It's just going to cost you more money than it makes it, then it's even worth it.
Yeah, so with migration for going from Office from SBS 2003 to Essentials, Windows 2012 Essentials, is that you have to get them off Exchange first. So my first part of the project was to get them migrated over to Office 365. And with Office 365, we did the one where you get the Outlook included with it, so you get the whole Office suite. So I think it was something like £9 per user. So with that, they get the whatever version of the latest version, the greatest version of Office you can get, and they get the whole Office 365 in the cloud. So I use a product called Migration Wizard, which is basically like an on. I don't know if you use it, but it's quite good. So it's like a website, and you basically tell it where your old Exchange server is. You tell it where your OWA address is, and then you point it to your Office 365 OWA address, and it basically syncs the mail between the two platforms. Because if not, you have to export everything to PST and then re-import it into back in, and that takes a long time to do. Where if you do it in the background using this migration widget, it does it all for you. So
as long as you have a good internet connection.
Yes, luckily they've got they had.
Do not try this on a DSL.
No, that's what happened. Luckily, the first site we did my Office Field migration was they had a DSL line, so we literally exported it all to PST. Took it back to our office and then re-imported it, all 40 gigs worth of it.
Yep.
So once you've done the SBS migration, once you've done the Exchange migration, the problem we got is that obviously we were replacing their Windows XP machines as well with Windows 7 machines in Office 2013, is obviously those offices wouldn't work. So we could get them onto the new domain, we had to basically use the OWA to access their emails through Office 365. And then with the SBS migration to the Windows 2012 Essentials, it's quite easy. All you do is you basically run a health check on your existing PC, on your existing server, and it basically just does a DID diagnosis, checks everything's all right. And then you basically join the new server to the domain, and you run a wizard, and it basically does a DC promo in the background for you, and it makes that the new server. So you haven't got to do any of the migrations on the PC side of things. You haven't got to do any disjoining the PCs from the domain and rejoining on the domain again. All you have to do is just run the Connect wizard. You have to go to is a website you go to, which is basically the SBS server name. And slash, it's like a website you go to, HTTP, backslash, the new server name, backslash Connect. And you go there, and it basically connects the computer up to the domain again, and that basically means that re-registers it with the new SBS server, the Windows 2012 Essentials server, and that makes it puts it all into the new console. And then you just decommission the old server. And now, for the price of not having to buy the full version of Windows, they've got the whole of everything with group policy and everything, with it all involved. I mean, you still have to do all the migration of moving all the user files from one server to the other, but that's just a case of using a robocopy to copy the files from one server to the other, and then just redirecting the My Documents in the group policy. So,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the way you do it.
Tim likes to go rogue.
That's the way I would do it. So if you've listened to the show at all, I'm like a hardware guy. So I just sit back and these guys carry on, and I'm like, I don't know.
I listen to your show every week.
Then you know that like if it needs a screwdriver or a hammer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everything else them guys can just take care of. So. I love listening to you people that know what you're doing, because I mean it's like I'm gonna have to listen back. I mean, I understood all the words individually, but you put them together, and I'm like, I don't know.
Does that mean you're going to install server, Tim?
I'm sorry?
Does that mean you're going to install server, Windows server?
No.
Me either.
No. I mean, I don't know. It would be like anything. I mean, I'd love to tinker with it. I've worked around servers. I mean, we've had major situations where, rebuilding RAID drives and all this, and yeah, it's like what we talked about earlier. You learn what you need to know right when you need to know it. And, it's all the steps that we had to go through to finally get that thing rebuilt. I mean, that wasn't going to be taught in a class somewhere. And even if it had, there's no way I would have remembered any of it. So, I mean, you kind of learn the basics, but, man, it's when you're out in the field that you figure out what you draw upon what you know, and you Google the rest. And
exactly.
you just rely on intuition and your gut, and you just don't do anything that you can't undo, and ask, and you surround yourself with a lot of great people like you guys, all my good friends and everybody. Definitely. That I throw a question out there, usually somebody can point me in the right direction.
You know, you're a hardware guy. Have you heard of this, I don't know if it's in America, but there's stuff in the UK called Sergu. It's like a, have you heard of this, Andy? It's like a putty, and it's really good for, well, I've got it because it's usually good at fixing my little kids' toys. It's like a putty, and it when you open it up, it takes about half an hour to set. So you can putty it up and you just work it, and then you just put it around whatever you want to do. If you've got like a cable, it's breaking when it moves around, you can basically put it around it, squeeze it, within half an hour, it's kind of solid.
Yeah, I use something like that, and I cannot remember the name, on a laptop where the guy pried it open. He cracked the corner of it, where the power adapter was. I had to replace the power adapter, but there's no way I could secure it in there. But I got this some kind of epoxy. I had to do it twice. I used a different thing the second time. Second time it worked, but it just looked so stupid because he just cracked it off. It was just so jury rigged. And I used some Velcro to tie, and it worked. And they're still using this. It's like, and it's like three or 4 years ago, and they're still. Using the computer.
And a paperclip.
No, I had to fix.
That sounds perfectly reasonable to me. I mean,
And at the end, there's like, did I fix a laptop or just build a bomb? I don't know.
Well, it worked.
As long as our check clears.
I mean, it wouldn't work before I did anything. But the guy literally. He didn't know you had to unscrew stuff. He just cracked it. He cracked the corner of it off where the.
It's not Tupperware. It's a laptop.
Exactly.
Well, the product you mentioned, you said you wrapped around a cable. Did it remain flexible after it's set up, or?
Yeah, it's kind of flexible. It's really good. I'll put the links in the show notes. But it's waterproof. It can go down really cold as well. I don't know if it's in America. If But it's just brilliant for fixing anything. But it's brilliant for fixing kids' toys. I've got it.
I think it was an epoxy.
Because what you made me think of was JB Weld, where it's epoxy.
That's what I use.
Parts, you know, you knead it together, but usually it sets up like really hard. Mm-hmm. But something remains flexible.
I kind of, I don't know if I'm saying it, I put it in chat. It's called Shergru or something. But it's really good, and you can keep it longer. It's quite, I haven't got much of a life of shelf life, but I think if you read a packet, it says you keep it in the fridge, it keeps it twice as long. So it's sitting in my fridge at the moment waiting to be used. But I mean, I've used it for lots of things.
This looks awesome.
I knew you'd like it.
Where do you buy it from? Where would you buy it from over here?
I don't know. I was mentioning it, I was going, wow, this is cool, and then Kate got me some for Father's Day this year from the kids. So I've just bought it online. But I don't know if you get it in America.
Well, it says global shipping on the site.
We should try it. Maybe they'll send us some. We could try it out, and they could become a new sponsor.
Son, here's your new Play-Doh.
What did you fix today? You can get it on Amazon.
Fix a virus with this stuff.
So this does not get hard though. It doesn't dry hard, right?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. It's still a bit flexible, but I don't think it's really stuff. It really ticky. It really sticks hard, but it's still flexible enough if you needed a little bit of flexible in it.
Because I don't think that JB Weld. I think it gets hard, doesn't it?
That's what I was thinking of. JB Weld is all different types. You know, usually they have with your metal repair, but I think there was like a plastic repair. But this says it bonds to almost anything, turns into a strong, flexible silicone rubber.
Hmm, I've still fixed loads of toys with it so far. Yeah. So,
hey, I'll throw a tip back to you. You know, especially kids' toys, they're all made of plastic, and when plastic parts break, there's just no. They sell all kinds of plastic glues and all these. They're all junk. I mean, you could try and glue it, but it's only a matter of time. It's just gonna just break right along that original crack. I'll tell you what I do is, you know, when you think about when they're all those plastic parts, they all start out as little plastic beads, and they were heated and put through an extruder. And so anything that's plastic that's broken, I just, you know, put the parts together, and I take a soldering iron, and I just kind of melt it along the crack just to refuse it. Just, you know, just like a similar process when it's being, you know, heated, extruded. Well, you just melt that plastic back together, and you're done. There you go.
I've done exactly that.
Ah, there you go. Well, that's it.
It's a great idea. It's brilliant.
Well, thank you. It's like a forever fix. And I keep a junk iron, the junk tip. I don't care what happens to it, just to melt that plastic back together. And I want to check this out here.
I fixed a popcorn maker using that method.
with the just melting it back together?
Yeah, it's kind of got a plastic lid on the top, you know, so it doesn't pop all over the place.
Oh, like an air popper that kind of comes out and goes... Yeah, okay.
So it's going to pour it into the bowl and the top split. It must have got dropped on the floor or whatever. And exactly that.
Or you were popping like super duper popcorn. I haven't seen it.
Had M80s in there.
That's right. You didn't. Boom. You didn't grab the. Anyways, I digress. I apologize for that.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Well, I came across a couple.
This is popcorn for the rest of us.
There you go. Wait, now I'm hungry.
That's the new show.
Popcorn for the rest of us. That we could. There we go. Popcorn chat tech. Nothing. Okay. So subnetting. I hate subnetting. It needs to be done. But I came across a website called howtosubneteasysubnetting.com, and I just want to throw it out there. It's just a simple website that you could go to if you have never done subnetting. So subnetting is taking the this one website has PDFs and everything, but and MP3s and stuff. So it's just how the internet or how IP addresses work. And you've got your IP address, and then you have your subnet. And based on the subnet, depends tells it where the gateway is and the network. And it's just a whole lot of math. It really, that's what subnetting is, just math. But it's kind of one of those things where I always have to refresh myself how to subnet, because I have a subnet calculator, so it works out great because I then know the answer because I've got a calculator. But really, you just kind of have to memorize it. I remember in my Cisco class, we just spent hours and hours on subnetting, and I hated it every moment of it because it's just, there's either you understand it or you don't, and if you don't understand it, you just have to beat it into your brain. And other people go, well, good, I'm done. When are we going to lunch? And I'm like, you got it in 10 minutes? But there's people like me who are just like, and I
what
still,
was that? What was that website again?
It's pretty long. I put it. Let me throw it in the chat here. I threw it in our IRC chat. But it's got a whole. But what I like about this one is that there's just PDFs and there's workshops and there's a audio file. There's two audio files in there. Looks like there may be some. I was checking to see if there's any videos. I don't see any videos, but it talks about what CIDR is, and that's kind of a shorthand subnetting. I came across that and I thought, you know, every tech has to use it at some point. If you deal with at all in IP addresses, which you do, you may not even know how to subnet, but it's kind of a fun thing to get, you know, on those nights when you're bored at home on a Saturday night because you got nowhere to go. Hey, you know, whip out subnet document and like ooh. It's like, oh, I know, it's like crossword puzzles, but it's geeky crossword puzzles.
Really?
Is this Sudoku or something?
It's right. It's the technology Sudoku.
What was that game, Alistair, that we were talking about last week?
2048.
Oh, my kid was just talking about that. Oh, I need to. It's a good thing he doesn't. My family doesn't listen to this.
Well, maybe you could introduce them to us, or them to us to them. You try to keep work life and personal life separate. They don't touch.
No,
Tim at work does not mess with Tim at home.
No, well, you'll notice that you'll never see pictures of like my family and me in the same place at the same time. That was a decision they made a long time ago. No, he was talking about 2048, and so I'm really coming unprepared for this show. Sorry. You guys mentioned it. Is this like the newest thing?
Yeah, it's kind of a techie game. It's just Google it. It's like an app on the phone. You get like a, I think like an 8x8 square, and like you get number 2 on it and another number 2, and you basically swipe it across, and 2 to 2 makes 4, and then every time you make a swipe, you get another 2.
Gotcha.
So you swipe it again, you get 2 twos, you get 2, then you can swipe it, you get 4, and then you get swipe 2, you get 4, then you get 8, and you basically have to get 2048, sorry. So it's a very addictive game. I brought it up at work, and I said to the guys on the help desk, have you heard about this game? But don't let it get involved with your working. By the end of the day, everyone was trying to first one to get to it, and no one was getting their help.
Just ringing.
So you can go to 2048game.com, and there's a Java or Shockwave version of it, and you just move your arrows up and down, and I have no idea how to play this game, but I'm just moving my arrows up and down, and I see I've got 556 points. So I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm hitting up, down, and left and right, and oh, game over. I lost. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, one of the things I did last week, or in the last time since we've met, was I actually had a little bit more training on D7, and I've actually spent, so I went ahead and I bought the one-on-one training, and so I sat down with Marshall and Mitch, and then I had another training where Marshall wasn't there, he wasn't able to make it, it was early morning, and I sat down with Mitch and a couple of the other gentlemen who do some training, and we sat down and went in depth through D7.
I don't mean to interrupt you, not this
no.
Mitch.
What?
Not this Mitch.
No. Oh, I meant. Oh, Nick. Sorry.
I said, was I doing this in my sleep?
No, I meant Nick. I apologize. That's all right. So Nick Shaw, and then we said no.
That was the most random interruption where you said, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What? Why? That was so bizarre.
But you heard him say that's Mitch, didn't you?
I did. I said Mitch.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking,
oh, that's so funny.
I thought you were talking about Nick, so that's why.
I was talking about Nick. I apologize, Nick. So, yes, I sat down with Nick from D7 too, and we went through, and we had a whole bunch of training.
Look, I started it. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Thanks, Mitch. Just wound him up. Let him go. And there he goes. We just got to wait. Just got to let him run it out.
All right. I'm trying.
I just don't want to get any emails.
I'm really trying, but you guys pulled my string. All right.
You just cut that part out.
Why? We'll get emails about it.
Oh, this is live, isn't it? Okay. All right. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I got a chance to sit down and we did some more testing with D7, and a lot of they just went through a lot of the stuff on D7, all the different plugins and all of the different how to customize it and how to make it yourself, and I think we were talking earlier. Andy had some experience, and I don't know if it's like Andy may have left.
It's anyway, he's gone.
Andy's gone. Andy left.
He's playing 2048.
I know. Maybe, Andy, are you asleep?
No, he'll
nah, well, he'll come
he's
back.
Still there. He's just maybe at a...
Maybe he went to bed. No. He's like, forget it. I'm too tired.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's, you know.
So, I know he...
The popcorn's ready.
I know. The ding! Come back, Andy. Okay. Well, we'll catch him when he comes back. So I had a chance to sit down with it, and what I really liked about it was that I had this folder full of stuff, and now I can get rid of it, because all the techs walk around with either a thumb drive or some kind of a, oh, Andy's actually really gone now. He actually left. All right, well, maybe he did. Maybe he won the popcorn.
Maybe he ran his D7 again.
Maybe. So, yeah, it's what Alice was referring to is that there's this, D7 is very powerful. It can fix things, but in the process of fixing things, it can do some other stuff. And if you're working on a computer and you have a network connection, you need to get that connection up and going, and you're testing it, and you go and you run the network tools. Well, the network tools can disable and then clear out some logs and stuff like that. Hey, Andy's back. And we were just talking about you, Andy. No, he's just hanging still there. He's being quiet. Okay, he's being shy. Anyways, I'll continue on. And so we just had... man, my train of thought is gone now. Andy, I was talking about D7. help me out here. And you mentioned you had been using D7, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Well, now it's time for me. I'm going to leave, and then I will come back when you're done.
Oh my gosh! I had a slight headphone problem. Oh, I could see you, but couldn't hear you. I had to disconnect and come back again. So yeah, D7.
Hurry up! It's almost D8.
It's almost D8.
Oh my gosh!
What was your experience with it?
Yeah, where have you got? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've been starting using it, and it does a lot of stuff on the different all the different tabs that we've got up there. I've just started using D7 too. So is that the one that you've been starting to do your training on?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I could do with some of them myself, to be honest, because there's so many things that it can do and so much that it can customize it to do. It's a brilliant piece of kit.
Yeah, that's what I was finding, is that they sat down with me, and we were able to go through, and this is the, you just contact, contact Nick Shaw and contact D7, go to foolishit.com, click on the contact them support on the page, get a hold of them, they'll do a one-on-one support with you. I had Marshall and I, we were in a chat, we were talking, I could see his screen or he could see my screen, we were walking through the stuff, we were walking through each of the tabs about how it does, you know, system information and gathering, report gathering, virus and malware removal, Windows repair, and that's what Andy, you had been doing some Windows repair, and when you ran into a little hiccup, right?
Yeah, that's right. I was doing that, I was on a video chat with Alistair yesterday. And of course, it's one of those new things. You know, when you get something new, just playing with it, you know, just to learn how it was going. And I'm trying not to put the product down here, you know.
Well, no, you're not. It did what it was supposed to do. Unfortunately, it's sound like you shot yourself in the foot.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you should do the right thing at the right time and not the wrong thing at the wrong time. You know. And you don't mess with stuff if it's still working.
So don't mess with the networking tools when you're on an online chat.
That's right, yeah. I was running the auto mode, you know, that it has. So I'd selected various things and thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to see how this goes. So I selected, I ticked all the different sections that I wanted to do and just started to run it automatically. Then it just left it. Of course, that's the beauty of it. You just tick what you need, or you can even save that as a profile, run it in auto mode, and walk away or do something else. And that's what I'd done in that particular case, and I hadn't realized it was still doing that while I was on a video chat, and it knocked my network card. Don't know if it's the proxy settings or the IP address on it, knocked it completely off. So and the other thing I've been trying the remote side of it. I think it used to be called D7 Cloud, and it's now called D7 SFX, I think it is. And that allows you to create a very small, I think it's a few hundred kilobyte file, which is a self-extracting file, which you can, while you're doing a remote job, you can just drag that over, either use the toolbox in whatever remote software that you have, or you can drag it over to the other desktop. Really quick to drag over because it's only a few hundred kilobytes. And that immediately self-extracts D7 onto the remote, onto the customer's machine. Mm. And it takes all of your settings with it. So all of the settings you've predefined and things like that, you can copy over. Because if you ever look at your D7 directory when you have it, it can actually get quite big because it brings all the third-party tools in that you've created. And so you can actually end up with quite a big directory. So if you try and drag that across onto someone else's desktop, you know, especially if they're using a DSL connection or something like that, or your upload speed is slow, it can take a while for it to drag all over. So by using the very small FSX Mini, it gets all of your settings, all your predefined configurations onto the machine. And of course, it then allows you to run everything in auto mode. So while you're doing that, while you're doing, say in the maintenance tab, you could be doing delete temp files, purging system restores, run kill them all, or de-uninstall, or whatever programs you want to run. You could be doing that while you're remoting onto someone else's machine. So it's great for multitasking. That's the big thing about it. It's great for multitasking. I mean, we can everything it does on D7. You know, we can do all of those things manually. You know, we can all do it. We can all go in and delete temp files. You know, it's not difficult, but it just does it in a list one by one without any intervention for you. So it's a lot quicker. So apart from that little hiccup yesterday, I've had some good experiences with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Everything, you know, all your configurations and stuff gets saved in the cloud. You just get that one little tiny executable. You toss it on your remote client machine. So you don't have to take this big package. It self-extracts, pulls all your configuration stuff back down, and you're good to go. You're back up and running. You can go ahead and just run all your tools, everything right from there. So you can be very configurable. Just a great tool. I'm looking forward to using it more and more. I got a chance to use it a little bit this week. Had a client who had some issues, but ran all those tools like you did. I was able to repair their network connection just to see if that was causing it. Quick malware byte scan, and it just downloads everything. So you don't have to worry about carrying a folder full of, you know, the latest version of malware bytes or JRT or ADW cleaner. It just downloads them as it needs it and then cleans it all up, and you can just, and then they're gone when you're done using it. So you'll always get the latest version because it pulls it right down there. And if there isn't a program in there that you want, you can put it in there. You can talk to Nick, you can talk to Marshall, and they'll work on doing that. And one of the nice things that you had mentioned, Andy, was that you said you could start it and then walk away. You can actually start it and then somewhere in that script put a command where it will email you. So it goes through this auto mode, then it emails you so you know when to go back to the computer. So it's not sitting there by itself, you know, waiting for you to do something for an hour because you were busy doing something else. You'll get a notice. You can go back. So you can keep working on it. Because there's some things you can automate and there's some things that are manual. And that's on purpose. You don't want to do some hardcore something that's automatic in case, you know, it was an accident and you don't want to run that. But check it out. foolishit.com. And actually, Nick Shaw is such a great sponsor and such a great provider of this tool that he has given Podnuts a discount. So for right now, you can get a 20% discount by going to foolishit.com, buying D7, and putting in the promo code PODNUTS20. That's PODNUTZ20. So Nick Shaw is a great supporter, and if you haven't heard from him, go back to episode 131. Him and Marshall come on the show, and they actually talk about it. So it's two episodes ago, and they talk about the ins and outs and all about D7 2, and actually they hinted about a release 3 at the time, and then since then, D7 2 version 3 has come out, and man, oh man, they're just getting better and better.
There's videos as well, isn't there? You can go on.
Yes.
I think he has a YouTube channel which has little tutorials, not on everything, I don't think, but on most things. So if you haven't used it, then you can look at those videos just to see what it can do.
Yeah. Yep. So the big news today, Microsoft came out with their new Windows 10. What do you guys think? Is this something you're excited for, not excited for?
I'm always excited when there's something new to play with, kind of thing. Hopefully better than Windows 8 with the old Metro. The start menu's back, apparently. So
that's a lot of things a lot of my customers just want all the time is the start menu. You know, I don't really know anyone who likes not having the start menu. Well, when you think about it, you know, you think we're all used to the start button. We're all used to that thing. But you know, if you think about it, when we all start, well, it depends on when you started, but Windows 95 is the first OS to have a start button. So if you've all used Windows 3.1 and before, there was no start button there. So in a way, we've been kind of used to it a long time in the past.
Right.
But of course, most you know, just normal users of the computer only really got the computer when XP came out because of the internet, wasn't it, really? Most people got a PC because of the internet, and XP happens to be the operating system at the time. So most people have been brought up used to be having the start button. But for us, we've been through that before with 98 and before. And, of course, even Linux users don't necessarily have a start button.
Yeah.
Start button was Windows 95, right?
Yeah.
That was the first one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, starting tomorrow, it looks like there's an insider program. You can go and you can sign up for it. And it says, this is one from The Verge, and you guys sent me one from, it's pretty much almost word for word for from the BBC. But there's an insider preview button you can go to. You can sign up. You can get a copy of it. It's kind of like, it almost sounds like they're doing what they did with Windows 7. They released it. You can get a copy of it. You can mess with it. You can tweak with it. You can report back to Microsoft what you like, what you don't like, and then hopefully they'll make some changes, and then it's going to hit the shelves late 2015, yeah. Which I want to test it because my biggest thing has always been not the start button. I mean, that's always been a hiccup, and I figured out how to get around that, and things were fine, but it always felt like it was two operating systems in one, yeah. And you had to kind of pick and choose, and then I always felt like if you're not using one, then the other one's just kind of sitting in the back and using resources. I'm curious to see if this is going to feel the same way, so I'm going to hopefully get my hands on a preview copy of it and just mess with it.
Yep. So is that going to be available tomorrow, do you say, Martin, then?
Yeah. Yeah, there's. It looks like tomorrow you can sign up for the what's called the developer, or not the developer. What they call it, the insider program.
Okay.
This is from The Verge. It says Microsoft will launch a Windows 10 insider program beginning tomorrow, which will give most enthusiastic and vocal users a chance to try it out and help shape the new OS before the general public gets it. Windows 10 will launch to consumers everywhere in late 2015. So. Well,
What? Come on. Now, why are we ignoring the pink elephant in the room, right?
All right. What is the pink elephant in the room?
Let's get down to brass tacks. Why did these idiots call it Windows 10?
All right. From what why? I...
No. What? Go ahead. I can't wait to hear this.
No, from what I have read...
I don't want to hear about how 6 is afraid of 7 and that...
No.
It was funny the first time I heard it. The second time I heard it, I found it annoying.
Right. From what I have heard is that Microsoft, I feel like Microsoft knows they've kind of gotten a kick in the pants from Windows 8. Okay, they want to relaunch it. They want something new. They want something fresh. And so they knew if they just stuck with 9, that we would go, oh, that's pretty predictable. But they went to 10,
And then
it's completely different now.
Well, exactly.
It's two numbers.
They want a fresh start.
A fresh start.
Yes, and so that's why they went ahead and they went with 10. That's from what I have been hearing.
But that's, yeah, okay, all right. So, and that's pretty much what I read, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I like the name. Why don't they just call it Threshold? I kind of like that, or call it Tsunami Wave, or just give it a name, just anything. Get away from this numbering. Obviously, they couldn't call it Windows X.
Well, I'm going to call it Windows X.
But you know what? But then when you refer to XP, it's, well, I got X poop now. I mean, that's what you...
Well, then you just say, are you running Windows X? And then there's this anticipation. Is he going to say P? Yes. Is he going to stop? I don't know. And then you just stop. Oh, he meant 10. Okay.
You got to admit that this is it's pretty dumb. It's pretty dumb. I honestly believe that after all, it's been well over a year, how many months, scores of months that I've been calling for the end of Windows 8, bring Windows 9.
They said, Tim, we're going to do one better. We're going to go to 10.
And they're like, yeah, we'll give you your Windows 9. Here you go. It's Windows 10.
So they just turned it up. They just turned the volume up to 11. That's what they did.
They turned the volume up to 11, but Windows 10, by eliminating Windows 9 after Windows 8. You know what? I don't know. I'm thinking that, I tell you what, how long will it take? I think it's a matter of weeks. How long will it be until, honestly, that you will be able to buy Windows 9 on, like, eBay or something, shipped, right?
9?
Yeah, Windows 9. I guarantee you, somebody will start selling Windows 9. Like, yeah, here, $35 on eBay. Right, of course, it's a blank disk, right?
Well, or it's just going to be like written on with a Sharpie. It's going to be printed out on a label on an inkjet printer on somebody, you know, some 16-year-old kid's printer.
Oh, you know what? We ought to just like.
No, this is not a money making opportunity for Podnuts.
No, you know what though? I'm thinking I could reskin some Linux and introduce my customers, a select customers to Windows 9.
Well, they have it's called Zorin, right? Zorin OS.
Yep.
I never did try it. Just like Windows.
I downloaded it, never installed it.
I so did I.
Good job, guys.
I never. Well, I'm busy. But anyway, I'm just flabbergasted. I'm thinking the way you sell this is that this new OS is so perfect, that it's so flawless, that the only confusion that remains had to be generated by the marketing
department. See, I got
to
stop you, Tim.
That's the way I would sell
it. Tim, I got to stop you. I recently put 8.1 on an old Core 2 Duo laptop. It's never run better, I'm telling you. It's sped it up, and it automatically, with 8.1 and all the updates, it's already set up to go to the desktop. It runs great. I'm sorry. That's 8.1. And it kind of puts you don't really have a start menu in it, but it's an upgrade from the original 8, whereas if you would right-click on the where the start button is.
Yeah.
It gives you sub-menus. Almost everything's in there where you would need to go. It works well. Seriously.
Yeah, I do have a machine here, and I keep meaning to throw the 8.1 back on it and to see if they fix a lot of the issues that were making me so crazy. But anyway,
the only time I go into the modern apps is just to search for things. Because it's quick.
I'm sure the next version of Windows will probably solve a lot of problems, and I'd probably be very satisfied with it. But I'll never get beyond the name. So, anyway.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, I'm gonna read. I'm gonna read this email really quick, just because I know our Alistair and Andy. It's getting late there.
Jeez, here I am.
I know. I keep forgetting. I'm like, I got plenty of time, and they're like 3 a.m.
Got me started. It's
3 a.m. Andy wants some more popcorn. He's getting fourth meal going on.
Yeah. You interrupt me. I'm going back to my 2048 anyway.
Sorry. Okay.
Read the email.
All right. This is Martin. In Geeksters episode 132, you were chatting with Mitch about a laptop you were working on with a failing hard drive and a faded COA
label, which you couldn't read on the back, read the Windows 7 serial. I want to drop you a short line about this handy little utility called Magic Jelly Bean Finder, and that's at www.magicjellybean.com. It saved me in the past and has worked on systems with no media and a torn, faded, etc. COA label. I'm not all the way through the episode yet, so I don't know how it finally got resolved, but I wanted to drop you a line. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I have, and that's from Mike. Thanks, Mike. I hope you have gone through the show. You sent me this email earlier, so maybe maybe you paused or something.
Jelly Bean's a good one.
Yep. It is a good one. Yep. I just couldn't. I never got to the point where I could get it fully loaded, where I could finally run something. It was so slow, and the hard drive was so bad. But I have used this application before, and actually, you can actually pull the hard drive. And actually, I did. I pulled the hard drive, put it on another machine, and then ran Magic Jelly Bean to see if I could find it. It wouldn't find it because it was a OEM sticker. So what I ended up actually doing was finding buried deep in this Toshiba laptop was the recovery CDs. Put a new hard drive in, built the recovery CDs, put the hard drives in, and then went from there. But it still didn't work quite. It worked, but the drivers for Toshibas are weird. I had to find an HP driver to apply it to the hard drive so the network card would stay on so I can connect to the internet.
Say that again.
Right. I had to get an HP driver to apply it to the hard drive, to the interface on the hard drive, so it can allow the network card to connect to the internet.
What?
Because I don't know. I would use their drivers, and it would kill the internet. I would remove their drivers, reboot the machine. Windows would say, I found a driver, and then connect to the internet. Okay, it would connect to the internet. It wouldn't do Windows updates. So I would clear out. I use D7 to clear out the Windows updates queue, do all this kind of stuff. Still, somebody buried way deep was this HP driver that you had to run that went onto the motherboard or something, and then allowed me to get Windows updates.
You know what I do? I have this cheap little Cisco USB wireless.
But I had to update. It was something with a NIC. Well, but I pulled something else in there, and I was able to do that.
You're talking about the built-in NIC.
Yeah, the built-in
NIC. Well, I'm talking about I have this separate USB thing because I had issues like that before, and I use that to get the drivers, this wireless USB Cisco thing. It cost me like $10, and I think it's worked on, and it's got the drivers in there already. It's worked on everything.
Right.
That I've ever tried.
I think that goes back to like Podnets Daily 5 or something. I mean, that was talked about and those are ideal.
You know what I'm talking about? It's a white one. It's all white.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it works really well.
Cool.
Interesting.
Well, good. Excellent. I think we've covered quite a bit of stuff. I want to let our guests go to sleep. Go to bed. I know. I was going to ask you guys, because you're getting hungry. It's fourth meal. Do you guys have Taco Bell over there?
Nope.
Don't even worry about it then. you're in good hands. Well, Alistair and Andy, thank you so much for coming on. Their website is adminpodcast.com, or if that you want to type something just a little bit longer, you can go to adminpodcast.co.uk. Check them out. They did a Podnuts Daily with Jeff. Podnuts Daily. So it's podnuts.com/PND393. Andy and Alistair, do you guys have anything you want to share with us?
Last week we sought out a Google Plus community.
Oh, nice.
So if you find us on the search Admin Podcast on Google Plus, add us to your circle, and we'll basically put any new shows up and the videos I was talking about earlier, we'll put them on there as well. So
isn't there an iTunes, can you subscribe on iTunes as well?
Yeah, we can go through iTunes or through the RSS feed on the website.
All right, and your website shows version 7, so you haven't released 8 yet, but you're getting there.
Yeah, well, no, Andy spoiled it to me. I like to listen to the show before we release it, and then I haven't scammed around to listening to it and doing the show notes, and then it will be released, hopefully tomorrow.
Well, you're better than me. I don't even listen to myself. All right, so is that the easiest way for anybody who wants to get a hold of you, to talk to you, if you guess they're in the UK or something?
Yep, you can email us. Just mail that. If you want to email us, you can email us at mail@adminadminpodcast.co.uk. It gets to both of us. So,
very cool. Tim, if you want to get a hold of you, if they want.
What's that?
If they want.
If you must.
If you're not too busy playing 2048 to respond.
If you want to hear my further thoughts on Windows 8 Part 2, you can get me. I'm Tim Bauermeister on Google Plus.
Very nice. And Tim, I already said Tim.
Nick.
Mitch. No, Mitch.
Okay.
Fred.
Yeah, you can contact me or any of us too, really, on geesters@podnuts.com. And we could use some voicemails. It's been a while. At 7076-PODNUT. That's 707-676-3688.
That's right. Don't forget, Christmas is coming soon. If you guys want to buy something, podnuts.com/Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything more, but just a little bit gets kicked back to the Podnuts community. If you'd like to, there's tons of shows we've talked about. Alistair and Admin talked about Linux for the Rest of Us. That's a show where you can basic just Cody and Dora get together and they talk about Linux stuff. You know, basic Linux stuff. Not too geeky, not too simple, right in the middle. It's like a great lukewarm bath. Just perfect. Anyways. Mobile Dynasty, if you want to know more about the hardcore Android phones, Android app addicts, apps and stuff like that.
Door.
There's one show as well. There's another one. There's a when the hard drive show came out. There was a new one. There's a new episode come out this week.
That is true.
Whatever it's called, the hard drive died or whatever.
My hard drive died with Scott Molden. He's back.
He's got a new one. Oh, great. Great.
Yeah, he interviewed Jeff Hallisch, got a hold of him. They did an interview, and like Alistair said, it just came out this week, so I'm halfway through it. I'm going to go ignore my family and listen to the rest of it since we're done with the show. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm Martin at ObandoComputer.com, MObando in the Google Plus. And you can always just find me. I'm around everywhere. Hey, guys. Alistair and Andy, thanks for coming on to this crazy show. Tim, it's great to have you back. Guys, don't forget to be gruntled, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
PodNuts wants to thank everyone who supports the network by going to www.podnuts.com/Amazon.